Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and our very special guest, Larry Taunton. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. And in all likelihood, we'll not be going to the phones today, but you can still get your questions to us if you dial 844-322-2742. Just leave us a voicemail at that number. Again, 844-322-2742. But right now, it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As you said, we do have a very special guest with us today. It's Larry Alex Taunton. And Larry, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yes.
Great to be with you guys.
Well, it's always good to be with you. And as we've introduced you in the past, you're the most interesting man in the world. And we're just glad that you can spend a little time with us and tell us about
Nothing like sitting here sipping a Dos Equis while I talk about Basic Gospel.
Little plug there.
Well, as all of our listeners know, Larry, you're the head of the Fixed Point Foundation, and you've put together some really significant events through the years, putting atheists and Christians together in debate formats, and you've written significantly about the very first one that you put together between Richard Dawkins and John Lennox. I think it's an 8-part series that you've recently published. Some of the most fascinating reading I've done in probably the last 3 or 4 years. So I just want to commend you for that and say thank you for really filling in the details, the backstory of that particular event that I don't know how many millions have watched that.
Well, I don't know how many millions either, Bob, but I really appreciate that. I've enjoyed telling that story. You know, I've been telling both John, and that is John Lennox, and Richard Dawkins for many years, that I was eventually going to turn the backstory into a book. And that made Richard, more than John, a little bit nervous, as I think he thought I would use it as an opportunity to skewer him. But that's not what I'm out to do in this. It's people don't realize what all takes place off stage with something like this, and it has been a fascinating journey, and I don't think it's over.
No, I don't think so either. I'm sure that your readers are loving every new chapter that you put out as far as that story is concerned. I just wait for Thursdays when you publish those so I can read, and you know, at the end of it, I'm thinking, gosh, I wish it was Thursday already so I can get the next installment. But Larry,
well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, it is fascinating reading. And for our listeners who may be interested, I think there's 8 installments. Is that correct?
I think it is 8 that I've done so far, and I've probably got another 8 to go.
Yeah.
I mean, it is really quite a story. Some of the most controversial parts of the story have yet to be told.
Yeah. Well, if our listeners want to read some of the backstory of this debate that took place many years ago between Richard Dawkins, who had written a book, and that the God Delusion, and that had just come out, and that was kind of the subject of the debate, and then you discovered John Lennox.
Yeah, he's absolute diamond, and he absolutely a treasure,
yeah.
I tell you.
And boy, he brought the Christian story to life in just a fabulous way. And I think you've called him the modern day C.S. Lewis. And boy, does he have a way of explaining truth in such simplicity and clarity. You listen to it and you think, oh my gosh, why didn't I think that? Why didn't those thoughts come to my mind? But he just has a way about him, just a winsome way of explaining some of the most complex truths in such simple terms that anyone could understand. It was a fabulous debate, and all of that story, that backstory of how that came into being, how that came to be, and all the things that Larry had to endure, you can find those at Larry's website, larryalextaunton.com. That's Larry Alex Taunton, and that's TAUNTON com, and I just encourage you to read it. You are going to be blessed. You're going to be like me waiting for the next installment. So, Larry, hurry up with it all, okay?
Well, I really appreciate that, guys.
Yeah. Well, another thing that you've written, and it's kind of the buzz as far as talk today. I went to a church, and the opening line was, is Kanye West a force or a farce? And that kind of led into a sermon that really took attention off of Kanye West and put it back on the Lord Jesus Christ and each individual's relationship with Jesus Christ. But there are so many people who are weighing in on his conversion. Is it real? Is it genuine? Is it just a publicity stunt? Is it just about selling more albums? And you've written an article that appeared, I think, in the American Spectator earlier this week. And so let's talk about that. What was your take on the Kanye West story?
Let me begin by saying this. I am not a fan of rap music. I profess no deep, really deep understanding. And I'm not a celebrity watcher. I don't watch the Royals. I don't generally click on those stories, about Kim Kardashian, who just so happens to be Kanye West's wife, and that sort of thing. That said, when I was in Panama, my children, who follow, a lot of things, obviously, that I don't, as Gen Xers, my youngest son called me and said, "Dad, are you seeing what's happening with Kanye West?" And I'm saying, "Well, I know that he's had some sort of conversion perhaps to Christianity recently, but what are you talking about?" And I know he supported Donald Trump and they've trashed him for that. And he says, "Well, today," this was last week, "his album dropped, Jesus is King." And he said, "Dad, the lyrics to this," my son's not a big fan of rap music either. None of them are. He said, "But the lyrics here are fantastic. And this guy is just getting excoriated everywhere for this." And he says, "I really hope you'll write an article about this." And at that moment, I was actually working on an article about Panamanian baseball. And I, not wanting to disappoint him, I said, "Well, let me take a look at it and see if my publisher would have any interest in me writing on this." And so after a brief, Google search, looking at what was being said on social media, I realized that Zachary was correct. And I thought, this man needs someone in his corner. And let me add to this. I am a Christian who is very reluctant to come out and immediately prejudge whether an individual's conversion is authentic or not, particularly when we're talking about, words that they are using that are clearly biblical. In other words, if Kanye West said, "I've converted to Christianity, but I remain a follower of Allah," and I remain, something like that, and I'd go, "Well, I'm not sure he quite understands this."
Yeah, absolutely.
"The way, the truth, the life." But if the Lord can use an ass to speak truth, and by that I don't mean me, I mean Balaam, then I'm quite confident that he can use the likes of me and you and Kanye West. And this guy has an extraordinary platform, and he's shown a lot of courage, I think, in this. And my fear for him, quite honestly, is, as a young believer, as I am inclined to think that his conversion, at least that he means it very sincerely, whether I don't have a window into his soul and whether or not he actually has a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't know. But I do believe that he's very sincere. And as I began reading the lyrics on this album, I thought, this is good. I don't know how it sounds, but it's good. Here's a guy who is very openly talking about his addiction to pornography, who is on his album, and he's talking very openly about his addiction to sex. He's very openly talking about looking for a way out of the dark pit that he found himself in his own life. And he says, but I know that you're there. I know that you've never abandoned me. I know that you've given me the things that I have. And I know that I owe it all to you. And then he says, Jesus is king. Jesus is king. Now, for any man, as I wrote for the American Spectator, who used to, you know, who has a song that he used to sing called I Am a God. And he would sing this over and over again. I am a God. I am a God. I am a God. To move from that to Jesus is king. Jesus is king. Jesus is king. To me, that's a man who's headed in the right direction.
Yeah, that is definitely a move of the heart. I mean, that as Paul kind of wrote in Romans 10, anyone who confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead is going to be saved. And as you said, going from one way end of the spectrum of thinking themselves in God-like terms and then saying Jesus is Lord, that is a significant move. That only the grace of God.
It really is.
That only the grace of God can bring about. That's not a human change of mind. That's a grace motivated change of mind. So, yeah. Well, let's take this
Bob,
quick.
Bob, get this. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I said we were going to take a quick break, and then we'll start talking about this again. So hang on, okay?
Larry Taunton is joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for being with us, everybody. A very interesting conversation, as it always is when Larry joins us. But right now, Bob, it's the final day of October. So talk to our listeners one final time in regard to our end-of-month need.
Well, what I want to talk about is really our resource, and the resource that we want to put in your hands is a book that we've prepared called The Basic Gospel, and I've written an opening chapter about why the basics, why the essentials are so vitally important. Yeah. We talked about Philippians 3, and Paul said, it's no bother to me to write the same things to you mm-hmm. again and again because they are a safeguard, a protection for you, and so many people fall away or struggle because they're not sure about the basics of the faith. And that's what this book is all about. It's about laying the groundwork for why the essentials are important and then showing you all the passages in the Word of God in the New Testament that really give the building blocks of the faith. So it's great for personal growth, personal study. This book is great for a small group Bible study, and we want to put it in your hands. And it's our gift to you, our way of saying thank you for standing with us in support of Basic Gospel. And certainly we need your support. We need this message going out there, the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, connecting human hearts to the very love of Jesus Christ.
And that is tied, of course, between now and midnight, because you're going to get a copy of it when you make your end-of-month gift to help us in the month of October, where the bills come to you. And so, friends, it's you that keeps this program on the air, and we appreciate it so much. We love your partnership with us. So make your contribution by midnight tonight. We're going to send you a copy of The Basic Gospel, as Bob said, essential truths that's going to help you understand and live in the good news of Jesus Christ.
Well, thanks, Bob. So, Larry, back to our conversation about Kanye West. And, you know, so often what happens, especially with celebrities, but we see this taking place in the New Testament. So Paul goes to Galatia. He gives a very clear picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Such a vivid picture in their minds, and they knew that Jesus had died for their sins, that Jesus had been raised so that they could experience new life, and they responded to that good news. And Paul spent some time there, and then he continued on his journeys. And after he left, there was a group of people that came in that were trying to add to what Paul had to say. And if you really want to be a Christian, you need to do this, this, and this. And my fear, and it's not really, you know, a something that keeps me up at night. But the thought is that somebody's going to come to Kanye and say, well, yes, you've heard the gospel and you've responded to that. But if you really want to be a Christian, if you really, you need to do this, this, and this. Yeah. And boy, that's just going to drive them away, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope that you're wrong, and rather what I really hope is that he's protected, you know, as a potentially a young believer. We love our stars, and often when a celebrity converts, they're just immediately put out front and as a spokesman for the faith, and that is often as damaging to them as it is to others. And so that's a concern for me. But the man needs our prayer for an additional reason. As I note in the article that I've written about this, and again, you can find it on Larry Alex Taunton, that's T-A-U-N-T-O-N, LarryAlexTaunton.com. As I note on my article about him, the left has attacked him viciously, and it's absolutely amazing to me how open they are in their in their celebration of all things wicked. I mean, for example, the Independent, as I mentioned in this particular piece, in their review of his album, they trash him no less than 5 times for urging people, as he was making this album and speaking to people, to save sex until marriage. Now, they absolutely ridicule him for this. And they talk about how his, you know, and others talk about how this music, you know, lacks a certain authenticity, it lacks any kind of depth. They prefer the old Kanye. Well, the old Kanye was a guy who, for example, in one of his songs, he spoke very unfavorably of Taylor Swift. He used the B word in speaking of her, and he predicted that he would have sex with her. I mean, these were misogynistic lyrics to the 10th power, and the left, the music critics, they all love that. But the Kanye who comes along and he says, you know what? I was wrong. I wish I hadn't done all the stuff that I did. And you know what? Safe sex until marriage. And you know what? I said that I'm a God, but really Jesus is King. They hate that. They hate it. And it reminds me of Romans chapter 1, which speaks of the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. And then towards the end of that chapter, it speaks of those who are haters of God. And boy, oh boy, do the haters of God come out when you speak of God and associate with it Jesus's name. Jesus's name is what they just simply can't abide by. Call yourself God, that's okay. Speak of Allah, that's okay. Speak of some vague godlike entity, that's okay. But you can't speak of Jesus as God.
Yeah, there's as that lyric said, there's something about that name. There's something about the name of Jesus, and you can't be neutral about Jesus. You can't sit on the fence about Jesus. You're gonna love him and bow down and worship, or you're gonna stand in rebellion against him. Those are the two options, and what he claims about himself leaves no other option. You can't call him just a good teacher. You can't call him a moral dude. You have to look at what he said, and like I said, either bow down and call him Lord and God, or stand in rebellion against him. But here's one of the things, Larry, that's interesting. When a celebrity like this says they've had a conversion, and it's true of anybody. So say, you're in a family and one of your siblings, you've grown up in a secular family, and one of your siblings says, hey, I've come to Christ. Well, the siblings are going to judge just like the world is going to judge a celebrity. and we're going to look at every action, every word they say, everything that they do, and we make it all about that person. And we forget the fact that if a person's saved, they've been saved by grace, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Lord Jesus Christ has saved somebody, he hasn't just given that person a ticket to enter heaven when he dies. He has done something to that person. He has made him alive. He has brought him out of death. He's enabled that person, empowered that person to cross over from death to life. He sent the Spirit to take up residence in that person. And so we have to look and say, hey, if that person's saved, then Jesus Christ is at work in them. And let's trust what Jesus is going to be doing in them instead of casting stones at every misstep that that person will make along this journey. So I think it's a great opportunity for us to say, hey, don't look at Kanye. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus.
Hey, I'm with you on that. I think one of the things that's very interesting to read between the lines of the left's critique of Kanye West and this particular album is that they continually are inviting Christians as though we should trust them. You guys need to reject Kanye. He's just using you to make money. That's which I just laugh out loud at that, as if to say, aren't all musicians? I mean, that's the point of what they're doing.
The
they're trying
line,
to sell
yeah.
albums. Exactly. I mean, it's I don't resent the free market. I don't resent what it is. But their insinuation is he's faking this. He's just using you like Donald Trump is using you. Reject him. We know you people don't like Kanye. Come out and drive this guy out of your midst. And unfortunately, some Christians have responded that in a way. Now, I haven't bought Kanye West's album, and I don't plan to. That doesn't have anything to do with Kanye West personally. It has to do with the kind of music that I like. I'm just not a fan of rap music. But my inclination is to feel supportive of what he's trying to do. And I'm more inclined to condemn those Christians who would rush to condemn him. And I would say, look, you know, we complain all the time how the culture doesn't represent what we believe. And there's this music out there that's, you know, a lot of, you know, rap music, you know, calls for violence against women and against police. And so now shouldn't we be supportive of something like this? Whatever the motivation behind it, the lyrics that I've seen are excellent. And so, yeah, I'm very pleased to see it.
Yeah. Well, we certainly don't have to be afraid of what's happening there. If God has saved him, we don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen down the road. God is committed to perfecting the work that he's started, to conforming him into the image of Christ. And you know, when Paul was saved, everybody was afraid. They were worried. How could this can't be genuine? But God's grace proved otherwise, and I guarantee God's grace will prove otherwise in this case as well. And so we need to look to Jesus and keep our eyes focused there. Well, Larry, this time has flown by, and thank you for jumping on with us today. We certainly appreciate it, my friend.
Delighted to be with you both.
Well, friends, thank you for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, and thanks to our friend, as Bob said, to Larry Taunton for being with us today. It's always an interesting conversation when Larry joins us. Well, tomorrow we'll continue with another interesting series. This will be number 8 in Bob's top 10 favorite passages, and we hope you're going to join us for that as well. And in the meantime, if you have a question about anything you've heard on Basic Gospel or anything you'd like to pose anew, well, just leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or you can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Again, that address, bob@basicgospel.net. Well, once again, our deepest thanks to everyone who helps us by supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and gifts. You are the reason that we're able to be on the air every day with the good news of this gospel of Jesus Christ. And as you make your October gift by midnight tonight, we're going to send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel. And you can make your gift right now while you're thinking about it at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Larry Taunton, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for number 8 in Bob's top 10 favorite passages. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.